place, space, time. Whether it is ourselves or someone or some pet or anything at all that seems to be out of time sequence or in the wrong place, or maybe someone that has no place to live. Mary Baker Eddy has referred to what our duty is when we see a stray dog, one apparently that is aimlessly or maybe purposely, very purposely, looking for food, wandering around, not appearing to have an adequate supply of food and having any peace in their life. But they're constantly trying to survive. How about all the children that are in foster homes? That is a very fertile bed for human trafficking, human abuse. In fact, family law courts work with child services in many states and operate as a business, getting money by selling these unfortunate children. Recently, a cooperation between the special forces of the U.S. that are in the White Hat Group, which is not the present administration, but the ones who are trying to drain the swamp of the present administration, worked hand in hand with the special forces of Russia. They have captured a large number of U.S. children that had been abducted, taken off of the streets, disappeared, and were transported over to Ukraine, sold in the child labor market, the child trafficking market. Some had a lot worse than that happen to them. Mary Baker Eddy devoted regular time every day for the cause of all humanity. This topic should be at the top of the list. This is extremely serious. It is the largest moneymaker for the corrupt swamp, more so than gun running and drugs. Recently, there was a ship that was discovered, thanks to a whistleblower, off of the shore of San Francisco. It was a cargo ship that had been customized as a prison for children. They were taking children off the streets of San Francisco and the surrounding areas and putting them on that so-called cargo ship. And then they were going to transport them to another country and sell them off. The local police were complicit. Family law cases are a product of a bid and auctioned off. In other words, they already know what the outcome of the court case is going to be because the judges are paid off. They participate in the profits. The same with other court cases. They are a product that is determined in advance, with the judges being complicit because they're paid off. When they find somebody guilty, they are paid off. The U.S. is worse than Nazi Germany was when Hitler was controlling it. They had something like, I think it was 90% conviction rate, and the U.S. is presently almost 100%. I think it's 98 plus, or maybe 99%. The corporations that own the prisons. I was shocked when I found this out a number of years ago. that the prisons are a profit-making venture. They charge an enormous amount for each prisoner, and the tax dollars are paying for all this. I don't know, it's something like $100,000 a year for each prisoner. I mean, that's $8,000 a month. You could rent a pretty good facility for $8,000 a month, live in luxury. That's what we're paying for the ones that are in prison. When you invest in some of the largest mutual funds, they are the biggest criminals because they are controlling these investments of these corporations that own these prisons and that are in cahoots with the family law and other courts. One wonders why the last president, who is really still officially the president, was unable to drain the swamp in 4 years. Well, he probably could have if everyone wasn't involved in the swamp themselves. It is estimated that some 95% of Congress, we're talking the Senate and the House, are complicit. They're involved. They're getting kickbacks. And why do they automatically approve billions and billions of dollars going to Ukraine? It's estimated that $1 trillion have been sent to Ukraine. It's all a money laundering operation. They steal from the other agencies, the Veterans Administration, all of them, the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve. They're all complicit. By now, do you think you see that there's a need for prayer, for humanity? If you don't, you're a lost cause. I don't know what you would need to wake up. This is all public information. Anyone that would like to have any backup, send us a message with your phone number. We'll call you. We'll give you whatever backup information you want to verify that what is being said here is the truth. It's all public information, all available, but people don't bother to do the research. They don't bother to connect the dots. They don't bother to wonder why the last one that tried to build a wall couldn't get a lousy $4 billion when they have sent about $1 trillion in their money laundering operation to Ukraine. The primary reason that Russia has been in Ukraine is to drain the Ukraine swamp of biolabs and human trafficking. All departments of human trafficking, human abuse. This was the number one priority for the special military operation by Russia into Ukraine. Not because they were infringing upon the borders. That certainly was one important item. But even more than that was to drain the swamp in Ukraine, for it is considered the worldwide center of corruption for these topics that have been mentioned here. Is there a need for us to expand our vision and forget about our little self and treat consciousness for the topics that have been mentioned in this recording? The seeds have been planted for a long time, decades and decades, to convert our children to accept a moral standard that is probably far below what Sodom and Gomorrah had, and to be very willing not to learn a single thing in school. The National Education Association is trying in every way possible to eliminate the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic from the curriculum of schools, but with a heavy emphasis on the children being able to make their own decisions on every single thing they do, including determining their own sex. And they're able to do this under what are being instituted as laws without the parents even knowing what is going on in the school where their children spend most of their daytime waking hours. Mary Baker Eddy warned us about this very succinctly. She said that it would not surprise her if sooner or later we would not be able to practice Christian Science because it would be illegal. Because what does Christian Science do? It teaches freedom. It teaches freedom of thought. It teaches being sovereign. It teaches relying on the one and only real God, the one that is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. On page 146 of Science and Health, and this quote, by the way, is so important that it is in the header of the website, which means that it is on every single page, at the top of every single page, on the entire website. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages in the website, if not thousands. It states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. That's the marginal heading. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. The system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. That's page 146, Science and Health, beginning on line 31. If one looks at the word disease, it means dis-ease. It doesn't just mean a disease that has a label, but any disease, any kind of discord. We've provided to the public on our website in the last few days a treatment that begins with the title, Treat Every Discord. And it's emphasized that the smaller, the more important it is. That is because we tend to forget and ignore the small inconveniences, not realizing what Mary Baker Eddy said at the beginning of chapter 14, a quote from the Bible, Isaiah, which is, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That means we need to demonstrate every single thing that is an ungodlike activity. Everything. Don't just stick a Band-Aid on your finger when you maybe cut it, prick it or something, playing with an animal or hitting it with a knife when you're in the kitchen, not paying careful enough attention to what you're doing. Stumbling because you're not watching where you're walking. You're distracted. Mr. Windlow has an article in one of his four books about God that is entitled The Bicycle and the Brick. And it indicates that if you're riding a bicycle and there's a brick in the road, it's very common to look at the brick. And if you do, and you focus on that, you'll run right into it. Because where we look is where we go. Are we aware that many of the top so-called officials in the so-called present administration, which is in place illegally, for the entire election was a fraud? Everyone knows it. Many of the officials have been terminated by the military of the White Hats, the ones that are working on draining the swamp behind the scenes. Governors of several states, the heads of the agencies that brought about the pandemic, they're all gone. Other secretaries of various agencies have been executed. The President of the United States, supposedly the President, has been gone for 2 years, early in 2021. He passed on. And the actor that is playing that part even disclosed his identity when he was meeting with the Prime Minister of UK 2 years ago. It was on a live mic. The whole world heard it as it was replayed without them realizing what they were doing. They would normally edit that out, but the original of that meeting has been out there for 2 years. The head of the CIA disguise department has become a whistleblower, recorded a video, been out there for a long time, a year or two, that shows what they do to make people look like the ones that have been executed. The illegal administration that is playing the part of being the administration would love to have them all executed, because then they can control everybody, because every single one is an actor that follows their instructions or face execution themselves. You wonder why we can't control the border? Who wants to? It's the source of the child trafficking. It's the source of money laundering. Come on in. The more the merrier. Many countries send their people to the southern border of the U.S. because that's the easiest place in the world to get in here free. Then they set them up with large payments, housing, they put them up in hotels, all based on money that they bleed from the public under the guise that it's income taxes, the whole system of which is illegal, not in the Constitution. It says in the Constitution, no taxation without representation. Well, they just pass a law without any representation. The public is totally blind to what's going on. We are at the precipice, and we must treat consciousness on the basis that there can be no dishonesty. Nothing can be out of place. Nothing can be out of sequence. The only time is now. The only place is here. Mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, is omnipresent. There's no separation. There's no two minds. There's no separation between the one mind and the manifestation of mind, which is us. Every single individual has a purpose to be here. If we all remembered one simple thing, the golden rule, we would all be living in harmony. Do we even do that Do we even think about the golden rule before we open our mouth and criticize someone? Mr. Fluno, one of the very early students of Mary Baker Eddy, back in the 1880s, wrote an article on criticism. It's only a page and a half long of text. I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes in audio format. Fluno, F like Frank, L-U-N-O. Just go to the menu, click on authors, click on the F for Fluno, and his publications are right there. He says we will get nowhere, nowhere, if we criticize. One of the things that Mary Baker Eddy did in her multiple prayers a day for humanity was to focus on perfection. Now, you cannot focus on perfection and also criticize. Focusing on perfection neutralizes the temptation to criticize. Neutralizes it. It short circuits it. Mr. Rawson was an expert. Frederick L. Rawson was an expert on electricity. And he's seen evidence in experiments that he has done where the circuitry within our body, and I'm talking about the electrical circuitry, has actually been shorted out under proper treatment and changes the body structure. Corrects what needs to be corrected by shorting out the negativity that is running through our body because of being exposed to lie upon lie for all of humanity, which has been compounded into what is considered being born a sinner. We have to think about pre-existence of perfection, not pre-existence of imperfection, such as being born a sinner. Let's focus on the wrong thing. Let's focus on a lie. We must separate the mortal lie, the mortal theory, from the fact which is spiritual. The real man. The real identity, the real manifestation of the one and only real God. When Mary Baker Eddy said that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system, this is not any different than mathematics or music or anything else. A homemaker better be systematized, or she'll turn out a very poor table of food. For breakfast, instead of having cold fruit, she'll have it hot. Instead of having dry cereal that is cold, she'll have it hot. Hot milk in dry cereal probably would not be very good. Make it soggy immediately. I believe you get the idea. The consciousness has to be in the right place, and we have to understand there's only one controller. The system that Mary Baker Eddy gave us is really very simple. Anyone that knows anything about Christian Science knows that the definition of God specifies 11 specific items, 4 adjectives. At the beginning, she says God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And then she follows with what those adjectives apply to, which are the 7 synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So we apply the 4 adjectives to the 7 synonymous terms, and we get a product. Now, the four adjectives are considered the operators, just like mathematics has the operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide that are to be applied to the 10 digits of 0 through 9. Well, the four operators of the word, the Christ, Christianity, and science, which are some of the symbols for those, are the first of the word is incorporeal, and the second, Christ, is divine, and the third, which is Christianity, is supreme, and the fourth, which is science, is infinite. The word means the facts about God. The Christ means we have to translate whatever comes our way to make sure we're focusing on the facts of God and not be distracted by some suggestion by picking up the phone, as described by Mr. Winslow. He says the phone is always ringing, but it's duplex, where you can make a statement or you can argue with the devil, which is really what the phone ringing is a symbol for. Or you can listen to the radio, which is just announcing the facts of God. So we can either let the salesman get his foot in the door and then come on in and ruin our entire consciousness because we are absorbing what a theory is trying to tell us to lower our standard and to normalize things that are totally unlike God. Or we can listen to the radio, tuned into station KOG, Kingdom of God, and uplift our thought, our consciousness, so that we can be reflecting that out to the universe of consciousness. We must continue to study what the seven synonymous terms represent, how to define them, what are the terms that enable us to understand them more clearly and more completely. Helen Wright, a genius of a writer on behalf of Christian Science, wrote a book that is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And in there are four specific chapters, one chapter on each of the seven synonymous terms, starting at chapter 4. If one would study those continuously, they would be amazed at the results. So when something comes your way that is ungodlike, if you really know what those terms mean, the seven synonymous terms, and the four operators of the word Christ, Christianity, and science, then you will go into an automatic mode like Jesus did when he was walking along the wayside and saw somebody that was not a 100% example of perfection. Whether they were blind, whether they had lepers, whether they were leprous, whether they were, you know, maybe he had been informed about somebody that was so ill they expected him to pass on, or maybe they already did. It didn't matter what the condition was, whatever came the way of Jesus, he did the translation, which is the Christ. And he utilized the word, which were the facts about God, to do his analysis and his interpretation and translation, translating it from the so-called material view to reality, the facts about God, about the manifestation of God being omnipresent. In the glossary, which is chapter 17 of Science and Health, the definition of God says that God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Wow, think about those words. the great I am. The, not a, but the. In other words, the only. Forget about self. Don't say I am this or I am that or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. If you say I am, you ought to be talking about God. If you say, oh, I remember that, forget that. God is all-knowing. God is the great I am, all-knowing. He doesn't have to think. We should let God do the knowing of what is already just true. How about the seeing? I think if there's one word, or, you know, two or three, four words, like eyes, vision, seeing, those are three that are all connected. And hearing is understanding, spiritual understanding. Think about God. Think about, you know, what is the value of eyes and seeing and vision? Well, it is the key. It is the key to everything. Because vision means what is our interpretation? What is our view? Do we have the same view that Jesus had, where he saw the perfect man no matter what the false viewpoint suggests? Mary Baker Eddy, Mr. Rawson, Mr. Wentworth Winslow, many others had the perfect view. They proved it in step number three, which is demonstration. First is the word. You have to know what God is. Second, you have to be able to translate whatever comes your way to the real spiritual reality of what's going on. And three, you have to prove it. That's the demonstration. That's the Christianity. That's the golden rule in action. Do we want others to look at us as if we have a defect? Mary Baker Eddy says we should be molding our lives. Well, we do it with our thoughts. If we don't have a system, there's no hope. Can you imagine mathematics without the mathematical tables, where now 2 times 3 equals 6, but yesterday 2 times 3 equaled 5 or 7? How would that work? There wouldn't be anything stable about mathematics. If you use that kind of mathematics and you used it in architecture and built the 100-story building, man, that thing would be flopping around at the top. It would probably throw the top of the building off. No, we have to have stability. We have to be like the turtle, making consistent steps and winning the race, even though they are slow. Made consistent steps. Every single thing is controlled by its principle. If we want to make progress, if we want the shortcut to God, then that principle better be spiritual, which means the activity has to be spiritual, which means it's an activity that will bless all mankind. Are we getting everything we want to get from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website? What are we giving? What are we giving to the website? Giving is the solution for lack. It can be applied to everything in your life, your business, or whatever profession you're in, whatever activity you're doing, doesn't matter. Can be for non-profit purposes, such as the staff here at the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. The only thing we pay for are outside contractors, such as the programmers. we all volunteer our time. Two of us volunteer time 7 days a week. Sometimes it's 18 hours a day. Many days straight without a single break. I wear out keyboards. I have big screens to keep track of a lot of things because we have up to 3 programmers working at one time. Sometimes there's only one. Sometimes there's 2. Sometimes there's 3. We have a scanner that scans 50 pages a minute. We have a book cutter that will cut the end off of a book so that it can be scanned. It'll cut the end off of the book in a matter of a few seconds. We're putting out a lot of material. It's all high quality. All of the tools are on the website. If we don't think we're getting enough from Christian Science, how many hours a day are we studying it? Mr. Strain thought he wasn't getting enough. He's on our website as a featured author. So he asked someone, "What do you recommend I do?" This was an experienced Christian Scientist. And they said, "Are you studying 5 hours a day?" He says, "I don't have 5 hours a day to study." He said, "I'm working this many hours, and by the time I travel back and forth and everything," he ended up, I think, using up 18 hours a day. He said, "I got about 6 hours left." She said, "Well, do you want to progress?" He said, "Yes, more than anything else." Well, he answered his own question. He decided that he would plan to sleep 1 hour a day. 5 hours of study, and the 18 hours to do the other things that were on his schedule. By the end of the first week, his schedule changed. As a result, it was not a problem to study 5 hours, and it wasn't a problem for the sleep because there was more time to sleep than 1 hour, because everything else worked out to be more efficient, and there was an adjustment in his schedule. He ended up being a highly demanded speaker. He wasn't on the lecture circuit, but he gave talks at churches because they had a high desire to have him be there and inspire with the things that unfolded to him because he was studying 5 hours a day. Bicknell Young, who was a relative of the founders of the Mormon religion, decided he wasn't getting what he needed, so he left the Mormon church. He became one of the better practitioners in Christian Science. He's the first one that made the public statement, I believe, where the mind of God is his mind. Now, you would think it would be pretty easy to understand that because Mary Baker Eddy states that clearly, that there's only one mind and the mind is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And it's immortal. It's not a mortal mind. It's immortal. It's of the substance of spirit, and spirit is flawless. And that one incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind is omniscient, which means that it's all-knowing, it's all-intelligence, it's all-wisdom, and that mind is the only creative ability that exists, and that one mind is all-capacity, all-facility, all-functionality, all-capacity. And she says, in the glossary, on the same page where she defines God, she defines the word good, G-O-O-D. And she says that it is God, That means God is good. If good is God, then God is good. And she defines it also as being spirit, and also as being the four omnis of omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and omniaction. So any action, if we believe what Mary Baker Eddy tells us, has to be an action that is spiritual. Otherwise, it's a fraud. It's a fake. It's a theory. It's not proof. It's not the facts about God. It's not the facts about reality. So if we think about every action has to be a perfect action because it's an action of mind, and mind is all intelligence and all wisdom and all knowing, how could mind make an action which was a flub? How could mind create an accident? How could there be anything discordant by an action that takes place? Because God is the source of all action. And spirit is flawless, so the action has to be flawless, because spirit is the substance of everything, and that includes the substance of mind itself. If we study what is in that book, Your Divinity Revealed, by Helen Wright, these thoughts will come to us automatically. Everything that is recorded in these treatments is absolutely extemporaneous. A thought might occur to me that, wow, there's a need to do a treatment on this topic. Maybe be one word or two or three word topic. And then it just flows. I don't think about it in advance. I say what comes while I'm talking. It will come to everyone. People have asked me how do I think they could advance most rapidly in Christian Science. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy makes some very specific statements on that. But I tell them to record their thoughts. Read something and record it. Read something in Science and Health and then record it in your own words. Don't just memorize the words. You have to make it your own. You make it your own if you use your own words to explain to yourself what you think the words mean that Mary Baker Eddy delivers to us in the textbook. How about miscellaneous writings? She says you cannot understand the textbook unless you read other books to prepare your thought. Miscellaneous writings is full of the kind of things that will prepare your thoughts so you can better understand the textbook. We are so lucky to have all of these tools available. If you see a stray dog, do you have stray thoughts? Is that why that's coming into your experience? Our thoughts need to be structured, no strays. If we see an accident, just like a stray dog, we should immediately think about the fact that nothing is out of place. There can't be any chaos. Of course, an accident is chaos. There can't be any chaos because divine principle is self-operating, always in operation, and is harmonious. It's system and structure. How can there be chaos in system and structure? Chaos is the opposite of system and structure. That's the kind of short little treatment we should be giving when we see an accident. Not a single one of God's ideas can be injured. There are no accidents in divine mind, because mind is divine. It's above any material activity. Mary Baker Eddy went shopping for chairs. Apparently she and Laura, one of her right-hand people that lived in her home, had an appointment with the owner. And after the meeting was over, Laura asked her, she said, Mrs. Eddy, says, it didn't seem like you were paying any attention at all to the conversation, which was the purpose on us coming here. And she said, how could I? She said, did you see that man's face? I believe that's what she said, something like that. He had some kind of an imperfection that was obvious to any observer. So all the time she was there, she was treating her own consciousness to see him as a perfect man. Just like Jesus did when he saw somebody blind along the wayside. He had to see the perfect man. Well, she changed her plan. Her plan was to go there to review chairs. Well, she changed the plan because the plan did not include taking care of a very needed observation that needed to be changed to perfection. Are we making adjustments in our schedule to take care of something that becomes obvious to us that needs attention? Are we paying attention to the recording that was offered in the last few days that said, treat every discord, and the smaller, the more important? Because we got to remember, it's precept upon precept. It's line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't try to accomplish everything in one day. She said, take it a little at a time. Make progress now. She says, you've got to pay attention to the moment. Moment is defined as the smallest amount of time. Are we thinking? Are we realizing? Are we recognizing that the only time is now? So let's take care of the now. Forget about what's happening in 10 minutes. I saw a movie one time, a comedy, where this guy had a financial need, and so he borrowed from the mafia. And of course, everyone's probably seen this kind of a movie. And, you know, not good things don't happen if you borrow from that kind of a source and you don't pay them. So the female star of the show was the wife of somebody that was very successful, and he was on television promoting his Midnight Madness sale or something. At midnight, he would come out with a special deal he was selling household things like a refrigerator or whatever, and he said, if you buy this in the next 5 minutes, you can buy it for. And he'd have a special price and all that kind of thing. Anyway, that's just an example. I don't remember exactly what he was saying or whether it was a refrigerator or it was something else. But the key is that she was the wife of that kind of a man, and she took care of the books. She was the accountant for the husband and for the business. And so anyway, she ended up meeting this guy that had taken loans from the mafia. And so she got personally involved with the guy, being concerned about his welfare, is what I mean by personally involved. And she says, well, what are you going to do about paying these guys off? They claim they were going to kill you or cut your arm off or something drastic like that. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. That's not until 2 hours from now. He says, or maybe it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. I think that was in the morning. He said, oh, that's not going to happen until 2 o'clock. I got till 2 o'clock to solve that problem. So he focused on the here and the now. He didn't worry about what was going to happen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Dale Carnegie says the same thing. You know, he wrote some very popular books. And one I think is called Think and Grow Rich. And if he would have given it the title he wanted to, because I think he brought it out during the Depression of the 1930s, so about 90 years ago, it would have been something more spiritual than that. But it seemed like the public was going through some very desperate times, so he named it Think and Grow Rich. But it was basically that your thoughts control your activities. And you have to be methodical in what you're doing and to be successful and so forth. So anyway, he, in this movie, this comedy, the guy brought out that you've got to focus on now. Forget about what's going to happen in 6 hours or, you know, 4 hours from now or whatever. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Got to be like the turtle, make a little progress, be steady. Don't go backwards, don't go one step forward and two back. Don't run fast and then be like the rabbit that was racing the turtle and had to stop and rest. And while the rabbit was sleeping, the turtle walked right on by. Got to the finish line first. Steady progress. That's what we've got to do. We can never think about anything or anyone being out of place. Stray cats, stray dogs. We can't think about the fact that they have no home. We've got to think about the opposite. We have to know that they have the right place to be, and they are provided with food. They are provided with a home, a place to sleep, whatever. We have to reverse what the material picture is, and we have to create the vision in our own thought that they are being taken care of. We have to open our thought to the truth. One of the quotes out of the Bible is, or I guess it's out of Science and Health, it says, "Ye shall know the truth." No, I think it's out of the Bible. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Yeah, that's out of the Bible. Well, what is the truth? The truth about real existence. And what are we going to be free from? Free from the false belief that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter. We got to know that life, truth, and intelligence is in spirit, and therefore supplies in spirit. As stated already a couple of times in this recording, do we think we lack something? Well, give. How about using what we have? It's common to be so unorganized that you go buy something that you need because you don't know you already have it. You don't have it organized. You might not have your tools organized, or your pots and pans, or your dishes, or your linens. And you think you need more, when in fact you may have them in the dirty clothes basket. Maybe you need to do laundry. When I was in business, I would think I needed a particular kind of a person that was qualified in a particular way. And later, I would reflect back on that and realize that I knew someone that was the perfect individual for that position. But I was going out as if I didn't know. I was going out as if I needed to find someone, when in fact the supply was already there. Supply and demand have to be one. Because if you think you have a need, that means you have already visualized the specifics about the need. And if you visualize it, that means that it is there. It is there. And the same if you have a supply. Let's suppose you have a real estate property that you are no longer have the use for. It could be your home and you're moving or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a bicycle. It could be a vehicle. It could be, you know, anything. We have to understand that if we can define what we have, then we can realize that there is a need for that, no matter what it is. Mr. Rosin says, our purpose in life is to make other people happy. We could think, if we have a supply of something that we feel that we need to sell or rent or give away or whatever, we can focus on that we want to make other people happy. And we would. If they have a need, I mean, we might decide we're going to give it to them. Whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is we're trying to match up need and supply. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Forget about whether, you know, you have to get a certain amount of money for it or whatever. Think about matching up need and supply. One of the most well-known people for business success wrote a book, The Art of the Deal. He said if he would have focused on the amount of money that would have been made by putting that deal together, he's sure it would have been a failure. He never focused on the money. He focused on matching up the needs and supplies of everyone that was involved in the transaction. That's what he meant by when he said the art of the deal. It was really the art of finding what the need was for each individual and making the deal work based on the individual's need that was on the other side of the desk. He has businesses in many countries. And boy, if you've dealt with other cultures, don't know the language, have to go through translators, whatever, you've got a lot to deal with. The cultures are different. The processes are different. And if you've got first class, in this particular case, that happened to be real estate properties and businesses, if you've got first class operations going on, it was not an easy task. In fact, the same man, I believe he said in another book, it said, the more important the project is, the more difficult you will find of the things you have to overcome to make it happen. The more important the project is, the more difficulty you will have to bring it to success. In business, there's cycles that take place. Business is good sometimes, business is bad. And that same individual had some difficulties because there were really some hard times going on. And instead of filing bankruptcy, he negotiated with the banks and realized and made them realize that they would get much more out of it if he operated the businesses and brought them to fruition to work through the period that was a difficult time. And the banks agreed. And that's exactly what happened. We've got to realize there's one substance. In fact, just a short review of the other things. Think about sense. Mary Baker Eddy says soul is sense. And of course, with spirit being the only substance, then the only sense, our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, has to be spiritual. And she writes a lot about what is spiritual seeing and hearing and feeling and tasting and smelling. And I've already mentioned principle, which is system and structure, which is harmonious, balanced. Life is living the qualities of God. Truth is staying on the track, making sure that we are not letting a deviation happen, but we are focusing on what we should be focusing on. When something comes our way that tries to upset the apple cart, focus on God, the qualities of God, the fact that mind is the only controller. And of course, love is the seventh, and that means that you have mastered mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. And so now it's whole, it's complete. And love is motherhood, where you're nurturing. So you're nurturing the qualities of mind by exercising intelligence and wisdom and knowing, and creative ability and capacity and functionality and facility and all these things. spiritual action. And you're not letting matter enter into your consciousness, but you're focusing on spirit. You're focusing on spiritual qualities, not being worried about whether you have enough money to pay the mortgage or the loan on your car or whatever. When you conduct your life, you should be thinking, should I be borrowing? Or should I be thinking that the supply that I need is there and not be a slave to debt? Are you going to build on sand? That's what debt is, sand. Are you going to build on rock? Which means that you're going to do it when you have the money. Mayor Baker Eddy would not permit any loans to be made when they were building anything. They had to have the money there to do it. It had to be dedicated with money before they started the project. We should have our whole life where we're not indebted to others. The Bible tells a story about where a man and a woman and a family were broken up because they were in debt. They came on hard times and they lost everything. You got to build on foundation. You should have a reserve to take care of unexpected things that occur. The Bible says that you should tithe, devote 10% of everything that you earn. Are you tithing? Are you paying 10%? Like the individual that advised Mr. Strain to spend 20% on God, 20% of his time, 5 hours. Well, what are you giving to God? What are you giving to the resources that are helping you? It was mentioned about the website. There's other good things. How about the musicians? We have beautiful music. We have a way that you can contribute directly to the musicians. We should set money aside for the important things, such as giving to God or the website or the musicians or to family in need or whatever it is. You know, maybe helping a shelter that handles stray dogs or cats or stray animals or whatever. And help them. I mean, there's many ways to give to humanity. Are we really doing it? Are we really tithing 10%? Doesn't mean we have to give it to a church. Tithing should be giving it to humanity in whatever need that occurs to us that is most urgent. But if we're not getting enough out of life, if we think we have a deficiency, I'll bet you a dollar you're not giving. I'll bet you a dollar you're worrying about yourself. You're worrying about paying off the mafia, like in that comedy, like the woman did. And the man wasn't worried because it doesn't happen until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You need to take care of today. You need to take care of this moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about one moment from now. Take care of this moment. Where is your thought? Where is your consciousness? Are you realizing that supply and demand is one? That you can't define one without the other being available? Are you realizing that need and supply means that if you're lacking, you've got to give? There's infinite ways to give. You can give a smile as you walk down the street. That's a way you can give to humanity. A smile instead of a frown. Maybe you have all the difficulties in the world. Is that what you want to share? Is that what you want to put out there for humanity? Life is magnification, duplication, multiplying. Those are qualities of life. What do we want to multiply? Do we want to multiply a frown? You know what the difference is between how someone looks when they have a smile compared to how they look when they don't pay attention to their lips, whether they are turned up as a smile or they're turned down? If you do nothing, they will be turning down or maybe straight across, but it won't be a smile unless you have trained yourself to think about the good. If you think about the good, it will be a smile. If you don't consciously think about the good and being joyful, it will not be a smile. Look in the mirror. How does your face look if you do nothing? And then think about the goodness, the joy, the happiness, the things that you are grateful for. You cannot help but smile. Gratitude, another solution to lack. Are you grateful? Giving, you're giving joy if you're grateful. Well, the topic of this recording is place, space, and time. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be reflecting the goodness of God? If we think we lack something, are we going to be giving? Even if the only thing we think we can give is a smile? That didn't cost anything. Except putting self aside and thinking about goodness instead of problems. Dale Carnegie said, if you think you've got a lot of problems, write them down on a piece of paper. Stick them in a file cabinet. Don't look at them for 6 months. This was long before we had computers. Yeah, we had file cabinets. Stick them in a file cabinet and don't open that door or whatever folder that they're going to be in for 6 months. You could even have a folder for every month, so that if it's January, you could look at the ones that you put in there last July. So you don't look at the ones prematurely. He said you'd be surprised how many of those problems disappear. Never became a problem. They were fear. You know, we can create our own problems by being fearful, because fear attracts discord. One thing to always remember, nothing can ever be out of place or lacking or out of sequence if we remember that there is nothing but God. Amen.